Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our study of the Book of Romans, we have now come to the fourth chapter. By this time, the Apostle Paul has clearly established not only the sinfulness of the Gentile world and the sinfulness of the Jewish world, but how that all have sinned. He has established the need for this system of salvation, which is so spelled out for us here in the book of Romans. We all need the salvation God has given. And he is beginning to piece together the various components, the parts, all the things that contribute to making up this system through Christ by which we are saved. Having come into being because of the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God has for a sinful man, we have also seen how that is by the blood of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins that we are saved from those sins. And by the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and also by his law, and how we must have faith in Christ, but a certain kind of faith, and that is an obedient faith. And Paul begins this fourth chapter somewhat like he did the third, by asking a question. He said, "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God." Now this idea of being saved by faith, it's not a completely new idea. He speaks how that Abraham was justified in this way. Justification by a system of faith was not unheard of. Abraham was mentioned as being saved and justified that way. Now, the very mention of Abraham immediately received attention from the Jews because Abraham was the father of their nation. And Abraham had been taught of God, and he had been taught of God to be circumcised, Genesis chapter 17. And that was a token of the covenant. God had made certain promises unto Abraham. He had made a covenant with Abraham and those who would descend after him. And he would keep that. And the fleshly act of circumcision, that was not what justified Abraham. That was a sign that he had been justified. But now how was he justified? Now, the Jewish people relied heavily upon circumcision, even as their venerable ancestor was circumcised. But he was not justified in that way. If a system of salvation was based on the works of man's merit, and on Abraham's merit, and on his goodness, he would have reason to boast, a reason to glory in himself. But Paul says, not before God. In other words, Abraham was justified, but it wasn't because Abraham was so righteous. And when Paul talks about the works here, he has talked how that Abraham was not saved by works of his own merit, of his own goodness. In verse 3, he says, "For what saith the Scripture?" And then he quotes from Genesis chapter 15. "Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Notice what Paul is saying. Abraham was not saved by works of which he could boast. He was not saved by works whereby he would given a reward. He was saved by the grace of God. He did not attempt to earn his way in justification before God, but he believed in God. This was a system of faith. But now we want to notice about this system of faith. When Abraham was called of God to leave the Ur of Chaldees, Abraham was obedient. he left that homeland of his forefathers, and he started out toward a land he knew not where he was going, but he was obedient to the call of God. Abraham had been called, but friend, if Abraham had refused to obey God, could he have been counted righteous? Why, certainly not. The faith by which Abraham served God, then, it was a faith that required, it demanded his obedience to what God directed and commanded of him. His faith required obedience to the law of God. The blessing of justification for Abraham, then, was based upon this kind of faith. It is the very height of absurdity to think for a moment that Abraham would have been pleasing to God without obeying God. And we turn to the book of James, and we see some more about this verse in Genesis. James quotes the same verse in Genesis that Paul quoted regarding the justification of Abraham. And whereas Paul stressed how Abraham's justification was by faith, a system of faith, a faith that was obedient, in contrast to a system of meritorious works, James stressed how that system or the law of faith required this obedience to the commands that are found in this system of salvation. And the absence of the work of obedience, it would have made the faith of Abraham a dead faith. James 2, verse 26. But to summarize what we see here, Abraham believed. When God spoke to him, Abraham believed. Abraham trusted in the word and in the promises that God gave him. And Abraham was obedient to what the Lord required of him. It was his faith plus his obedience that justified him. And this is what this system of the law of salvation through Christ requires of us. You see, Abraham is said by Paul was not justified by works, but James says he was justified by works. Well, isn't it obvious that they're speaking of two different kinds of works? Paul spoke of the system of meritorious works. He could not be saved in that way. He could not be justified by his own goodness. Whereas James speaks of the necessity of obedience, works of obedience. His faith required him to obey what God said. Now, if a man could merit what he gets from God, God would owe it to him. It would not be the result of God's favor. It would be a debt that God would be paying to man. But God doesn't owe man anything. The one who is justified is not the one who relies upon his own goodness and his own meritorious works. He is the one who relies upon the system of faith in Christ and obedience to the law of Christ, a law and a system that has been given by the grace of God. And to the Jew, and also to the Gentile, they were both dependent upon a similar principle, the same kind of principle by which Abraham had been made acceptable before God. And then Paul turns from Abraham to talk about another respected ancestor of the Jews. And this time, beginning with verse 6, he speaks of David. He said, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute, he will not count sin." Now, the man who is justified before God, he is certainly a blessed man, is he not? But this justification is by and through faith, a system of faith. Keep in mind the kind of faith of which Paul is speaking. And man is justified when his sins are forgiven. Blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. whose sins are covered. Friend, if one's sins are not covered, he cannot be justified before God, and they're not covered until they are forgiven. And God is the one that has to forgive. And God has laid out his plan when and how he forgives the sins of man. Oh, friend, it's worth adding here that our sins must be covered if we expect to see God in all his heavenly glory. And this forgiveness is made available to me and to you through a system that includes obedient faith, given to us by the mercy and the grace of God, upon the merit of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, when we obey the law of Christ to reach that saving blood. Then, beginning with verse 12, Paul said, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of the circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had, being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. The father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being uncircumcised." You see, Jesus Christ offers salvation to all of mankind because all of mankind needs salvation. God made promises unto Abraham, and at the time that God made these promises, Abraham had not yet been circumcised. As I said, that was a sign of the covenant between them. He was given these promises when he was, well, even as the Gentile, uncircumcised. He was later circumcised to show his relationship to God, to be sure. But the faith of Abraham, that was his means of obtaining his righteousness. And it was so counted before he was circumcised. He obtained his justification uncircumcised. Therefore, Paul is showing that this salvation from God is available to both Jew and to Gentile. Well, it seems to me that God deliberately made Abraham righteous before circumcision, so he would offer this salvation to both Jew and Gentile. Abraham is the father of the believer, not just the circumcised. To the believer, whether the believer is a Jew or whether the believer is a Gentile. One is a spiritual descendant of Abraham when he has placed his obedient faith in that system that's given by the grace of God. And this system required belief, and this system required obedience. Circumcision has no effect one way or another in the plan of salvation of God for us today, but our faith, our obedient faith, that determines whether or not we're acceptable to God, because that's the way Abraham was justified, that's the way David was justified, and that's the way that we are justified. Well, be with us as we continue in chapter 4, beginning with verse 13 next time. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.